it's not real life what you're seeing on the internet. So get involved and come be a part of it, I think. And that's what's going to make this situation better for all of us, is if we have a healthy, if we return to a healthy arena in terms of real life interaction, in terms of people getting together to decide what's best for their community and making those compromises, having those conversations.
Today's conversation focuses on political rhetoric. At a time when our nation seems so divided, can Republicans and Democrats sit at the same table and talk about the issues? We're going to see for sure, because we have Republicans and Democrats at the same table ready to talk to you. Grayson Cupid, Morgan Franklin, both of the Democratic Party locally, Matthew Tuttle, the Republican Party. Grayson, I start with you. What do you make of our national discourse as it relates to politics?
So I think our national discourse as it relates to politics is, well, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty rough right now. We've got people talking past each other on the national level. I think we have a lot of moneyed interests who are keeping Americans angry at each other and afraid of each other. And I think it really is not helping us have productive conversations about the things that actually bring us together. And it's not helping us have productive conversations about what we can do to make our government serve all of us a little bit better, which is the thing that I am most interested in. And I think it's what a lot of Americans are most interested in.
Matthew, we have always had disagreements. It's never seemed quite as personal as it seems today. Do you agree?
Well, you know, historically, if you look at discourse and, you know, things got really heated and personal all the way back to our founding. You know, our entire politics has been built on a lot of personal attacks from, you know, the Thomas Jefferson and James Adams, you know, calling one another traitors and so forth, to literal partisan papers throughout the Civil War causing more division. But I would say that a difference that we have today versus what we saw in historically political rhetoric is that it's more instantaneous. It's always at our fingertips. Anytime you open up your phone, you're going to be exposed to whatever that vitriol may be, whatever the anger of the day is. So I would say that's really a big discernment or a distinction between what we had historically and what we have now, in that now this rhetoric is just a part of our everyday life.
And so we see it every day. We experience it every day. And Morgan, you have more and more ways, whether it's social media, whether it's media that is specific to one party or one viewpoint, you're just, it's all the time?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that affecting
it? I mean,
yeah,
and I think that being said, we are in an echo chamber of our own making, right? And anytime we get online, we're being served back the exact same thing that we were just looking at. And I think that, and whether that's nationally or locally, That's exacerbating the problem for sure. And, you know, something that I was thinking about a lot last night when we were preparing for this interview is kind of going back to what Grayson said, is like, what does this all really accomplish? I've heard a lot lately, you know, I'm thinking about the library, and I drive by the library every day when I go to work. And you know, I'm thinking about they're talking about the books and where we should have the books and if the books should be there. And, you know, what I'm looking at when I go by are all the homeless people sitting out there. And I'm thinking about all those leaders and the people that are representing me that have to walk by those homeless people to get into the library to talk about things like that. And I'm thinking, how are these echo chambers contributing to us not actually getting the things done, especially in the Upper Cumberland, that we need to accomplish, especially right now? Thousands of people are moving to Cookeville and Putnam County every year. And so how are we meeting this moment, and how can we look past this national agenda and everything that's happening at the top to actually serve people here in Cookeville and Putnam County?
And I think that's a really interesting point about the social media. And I think it's something that not enough people really appreciate, is what, to put it frankly, what a terrifying weapon social media has become. Right. We have these
algorithms. In many areas beyond politics.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. In many areas beyond politics. But I think especially in that domain. Right. And when you break it down, you have to understand that these social media outlets are products that are owned by billionaires, and those billionaires have hired about 10,000 of the smartest people in the world to use the most advanced mathematics that humanity has ever invented to do one thing. And that thing that they're trying to do, it's not to make you happy. That's not the objective of the algorithm. It's not to make you happy. It's not to make you informed. The objective is to keep your eyes on the screen, keep it engaged, and make them money. And what they have learned is that because they've tried the other thing, they've tried just making you happy. It didn't work as well. What did work is making you angry. And so people need to understand that when they're getting on social media and they're seeing, oh, you know, all of the Democrats are saying that we're racist and fascist, or all the Republicans are saying that we're terrorists. No, that's not what all of the Republicans or all the Democrats are saying. That's what the ones that are shown to you are saying. And each of us has a different little algorithm that's specifically designed to make us angry and to make us afraid and scared of each other, because that drives the engagement, right? And so that's something that we have to, I think, divorce ourselves from. And I think it has to come from the bottom up. It has to come from more people realizing that.
Well, I would agree with much of that. You know, basically social media is set up in a way that it rewards the most vitriolic behavior, the shock factor, the owning the libs, or calling out the right. You know, if you look at amongst our political leaders, for example, you know, in Republican parlance, we all the time talk about show horses and workhorses in government. You have some who do the work of governing, people who actually write legislation, and then you have others who are just great for social media engagement. And we reward the show horse. You know, when you think about U.S. Senator from Texas, you don't think about John Cornyn, who sponsored the most legislation back when the Republicans were in the majority a few years ago. You think of Ted Cruz, the guy who hasn't passed any serious legislation, but is constantly getting the engagement. So the more radical you become, or the more vitriolic you become, the higher chance of engagement. And that is fed a lot through social media.
We're talking about political rhetoric, specifically how it happens here in the Upper Cumberland with members of the Democratic and Republican parties. We're in a situation where you have this echo chamber of social media, and yet you also seem, and I'm curious if you guys agree from your different perspectives, but that we have leadership, both sides of the aisle, that are more interested in picking the most controversial issues to talk about rather than the most important issues to talk about. Do you see that happening in our national leadership?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And I think, you know,
which, by the way, is there to get the engagement.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, and I'm going to call some specific people out for a second here, but I think we see that in, for instance, you know, Nancy Mace from South Carolina, and this was the day of the Charlie Kirk assassination, right? Nancy Mace comes down from the Capitol steps, and the first word she says to reporters about this is, whatever happens today, the Democrats own this, right? And this was before we had the details of what happened. This was before we had a suspect. So, I mean, that's kind of a crazy thing to say, right? And somebody called her out on it, and she basically said, well, shut up, nerd. I'm trying to spin here. And so you see things like this happen. You see the White House chief of staff go on national news and say that the Democratic Party is a domestic extremist organization. There's 44 million Democrats in America, right? Putnam County is between 20 and 50%, 40% Democrat, depending on the election. So do you really think that there are 44 million extremists in America? Do you think that one out of every three people you meet in your day-to-day life is an extremist? No. I mean, I know that's absurd. You know that's absurd. And surely the White House chief of staff knows that's absurd. So why is he up there on the news saying it? And it's because they have something to gain from it, right? It's because it's a distraction. It distracts us from, it puts our focus on this sort of culture war aspect, which Americans are so tired of. And it gets our mind off of the fact that, you know, in 1965, the average CEO made 21 times what an average worker does. And now in 2023, that number is 290 times, right? It puts our mind off from the fact that our GDP per capita is higher than it's ever been. And yet we're all paying more and getting less, right? And so they don't want you to think about that. They'd rather you think about which celebrity or corporation is woke this week, right? That's a more beneficial thing for them.
Well, I would say that, you know, rhetoric in politics is designed to do certain things. Among those things is to get engagement. What is going to motivate people to show up to the polls? I'm telling you, you're not going to motivate many people to go out there and pound the pavement, knock on doors over an economics policy. But if you can find a culture war issue or something that is really exciting or just a hot button issue to them, they're going to show up. They're going to be motivated. They're going to vote. They're going to give money. They're going to put in the volunteer hours that it takes to win campaigns. You know, when Joe Biden back in 2012 said that Mitt Romney was going to put all of you back in chains, it wasn't for any other reason than he knew that would be something to motivate a certain voting block that the Democrats needed to come out and vote for them in the upcoming election. So there is that incentive for political parties to keep the temperature high, because that's how you get the engagement out of the common everyday person who doesn't live and breathe politics. And so you push their buttons. You find out what gets them motivated, what gets them to open up their wallet, what gets them to go out and knock on doors, what gets them to show up to the polls.
But you have, at the same time, you run the risk of manipulating the agenda. And I'll give you an example that in a recent year, we were doing election coverage, and the question to the candidate who had just won is, what do you want to go to Nashville and do to help the Upper Cumberland? And the answer was to control the number of transgender children surgeries in our state. And I think that Democrats, Republicans, independents, somebody who's never voted in their life, if we got together 1,000 Upper Cumberland people of a cross diversity of political parties, no one would say that is the most important thing that's affecting our world. But as you said, it galvanizes people to want to do that. But that isn't that kind of a manipulation?
Sure. Well, in politics, in any form of communication, it is a manipulation to get someone to do something, whether it is a billboard or whether it's a commercial advertisement to encourage you to go drink a brand name, a soft drink or whatever. Sure. You know, it is something that you're going to touch a hot button issue or just touch a interest of somebody that's going to motivate them to do something outside their comfort zone, which is get in the car, drive to the polls, or to talk to their neighbors and friends about going out to vote or giving money. So, yeah, it is manipulation, but it's tailored for the purpose of getting people engaged and getting people involved.
Grayson Cupid, Morgan Franklin, both of the Democratic Party locally, Matthew Tuttle, the Republican Party.
Larry, my friends and I have an inside joke, and we say, this sounds a lot like friendless Facebook behavior. And so what we mean by that is, like, when someone gets on Facebook and they say something, this is nonpartisan, but they get on Facebook and they say something that really should have been said to a friend. I think about this all the time because I will get people from across the Democratic Party, across the Republican Party. They're calling me and they're saying, Morgan, there was someone in Putnam County Young Democrats and they said something and I'm mad about it. And I'm just thinking in my head, like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do about it? So I go to that person and I say, what were you trying to accomplish with this? And that is something that I bring up in almost every single meeting of Putnam County Young Democrats. I say, when we're online, when we're in person, when we're talking to people, what are we trying to accomplish? And I really think that politicians and strategists and even us sitting in this room, we have to be more cognizant of what are we trying to accomplish? And is it for the better good of our community and our state? Or is it to further divide ourselves along these lines? And you know, to Matt's point, yes, it is, you know, there is a lot of marketing that is manipulation, right? But also we have to have that integrity to know why we are actually doing the things that we're doing.
Well, what you also have to understand about social media, and this is my saying, okay?
Yes.
Social media is all of us stuck in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
You know.
Isn't that right?
And I don't know about you, but I didn't enjoy the seventh grade. But who wants to go back to that world where you said this about me and I'm going to say this about you and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's all social media is.
That's right. Yeah.
The problem is we don't get anything done.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we don't get anything done as a society. We've got we've got difficult issues. Mm-hmm. And again, this is at the national level. It's at the state level. And it is to the local. But I'm going to tell you a story of something that happened this week on the local side in just a couple of minutes. But I say that, Grayson, to say that when you have serious issues, it takes serious people to sit down and discuss it. And you're going to get a little bit, and Matthew may get a little bit, and you're both not going to be totally happy, but can we get you 90% happy? Can we get you 87 and 92 or whatever it is? And we just don't seem to be able to do that as a country, and so we just push things off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think the concerning part, because we used to be able to, right? There's a lot that made this country great and you know, historically and gave us the world that we all live in now. And I think a lot of it was that being able to come to the table and being able to compromise, being able to see, okay, these things are the things that bring us together versus the things that drive us apart, and find those things. One thing that I'm, you know, that's concerned me personally is seeing this sort of rise of, and this is from both sides too, of identity politics, right? And because if you and I disagree on an idea, we can talk about that. We can reason it through and we can come to compromises. We can find, okay, maybe you get some and I get some. But when you shift that discourse from the ideas that you have versus the person that you are, well, you can't change the person that you are. And if I'm being told that I should oppose you based on your identity, whatever that might be, then that cuts off the conversation, right? That hamstrings our ability to come together as a group of people that want to get some things done to make the world better for all of us.
Morgan Franklin of the Democratic Party, Matthew Tuttle, Republican Party, Grayson Cupid, also of the Democratic Party. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Larry.